The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Good. All right. Thank you, fellas. Good for you. That's good. Take your Bible, please, and go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. We are going to have a fellowship tonight after church. You don't have to come and stay long, but we do have enough cupcakes for everybody to get one. And so you'll enjoy the fellowship time if you can come for just a wee bit after the service. And look down, if you will. I'll give you contextually what it's talking about, but let's look back at our text verse. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, it says, as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let me tell you, Jesus now is leaving the coast. He's coming into this particular area. You'll see that in the book of Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 21. The Bible says, and the woman of Canaan came out, it says, of the same coast. So she's living in the place where Jesus is now arriving to. And so he is arriving in her area. She's coming out of that same coast and she's crying. She's got a burden. And the burden is expressed right here as she comes to the Lord, asking the Lord to give her mercy. And the Bible says that her burden is because she has a daughter that is grievously vexed with a devil. And so this girl is having problems with a demon. And the Bible says in verse 23 that his disciples even came and said, look, send her away. Send her away. She's crying after us. In other words, she is not leaving them alone. And so she is coming up and she is begging, she is pleading, she's crying, she is earnestly trying to get somebody to help her daughter. And so the disciples become flustered, maybe a little bit infuriated, maybe a little bit upset. And they said, just send her away, just send her away. She's just clinging on to us. She's trying to get us, of course, to help, and just send her away. They're a little bit flustered here. And the Bible says in verse 24 that he answered and said, he said, I'm not sent unto but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, now look, you're coming to me, and really, he said, I'm sent here for a different purpose. I have a different purpose in mind. But the Bible says in verse 25 that she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now here's a Gentile woman, and she's coming to that which is the Lord Jesus, and saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm beseeching for my daughter's sake, and I'm not going to give up. The Bible says in verse 26 that he answered and said, it is not meet to take, it says, of the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she answered and said this. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then, of course, the Bible says that he looked down on her and said, O woman, great faith you have. And therefore, the Bible says that he healed her daughter that very hour. Now, I want to speak to you tonight, at the time that we have allotted to be together, on the reward of an asking mother. The reward of an asking mother. In your Bible, you'll find out that there's four ways to come to God in prayer. The Bible says we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. That means you come with usual speech. You come in, you don't use the flowery words, if you will, but you come in and you talk normal to him. I hear people that when they talk to you, they talk normal, but when they go to the Lord, they'll say, Lord, I want you to know that I am here for thou, and I hope that thy will be done. Well, they don't talk that way to a normal person, and the word boldly there in the book of Hebrews is talking about normal speech, and so we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible says we're supposed to come to him as a child, and so we're supposed to enter into his presence as a child. And by the way, in your Bible, you'll find out that he's never talking to you using the word adult. He uses the words young children. He uses the words, if you will, please, young child. He uses the words children. He uses the word child, but he never refers to you as an adult. Now, why? Because he is always to be your father. You have problems and you are in the adult stature tonight. He is still your father. He wants you to come to him when you have a need. There's nobody tonight that can help your marriage like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody tonight that can help you in your child-rearing endeavors more so than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody tonight that can answer prayer other than the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we're supposed to come boldly. We're supposed to come as a child. The Bible says we're supposed to come as a beggar, and of course you have an example of that several places in your Bible where it says that the beggar came, and of course he was begging for bread for a friend that had passed by that night. And so you're supposed to come as a beggar. Then the Bible says you're supposed to come as a friend, as a friend. You know, when I went into the work of the Lord, I made him my boss. He's my boss. And so he's my friend. I can go to him and I can say to that one that I call friend, I can say, "Now look, you called me into the ministry. Now here is my bills. These are not bills that I have of my own doing. I've not taken and gone out and spent money unwisely, but these are the bills that I have. And you are my boss. You're my friend. And I know that you'll take care." Many times I point a verse out to the Lord and say, "You said this in your Bible." Now, I didn't say this. You said this in your Bible. You said, "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And you said that. I didn't say that. You said that. And God, I'm expecting you to keep your word. Now, would you please keep your word and answer this prayer? And I would come to him and just in plain speech and ask God to do what God said that he would do. Now, by the way, you have a God that enjoys you claiming his word. You have a God that enjoys helping you and strengthening you and giving you what you need in order to be able to make it through to the very next hour in which you'll need him in your life there also. We've seen people that we have had prayer for. I remember Brother Johnny Bryant and having cancer, and I love Brother Bryant. Oh my, do I miss him. And I watched Brother Bryant walk down the aisle, and Brother Bryant said, "Would you make me a promise?" He said, "Would you make me a promise, preacher, that as long as I can serve the Lord right here?" And I said, "Oh, I'll never take it from you, I promise." And so I remember him walking down the aisle and eat up with cancer, and he would, you remember Brother Bryant, those of you who was here during those days, and he walked down the aisle and he would hold on to every pew, barely making it to the front, and in pain all the way. And finally, after a while, I said, "You know, Brother Bryant, why don't you champion a chair back there, and you tell these guys what to do as ushers, and they'll obey you, they love you, and they'll do what you tell them to do." And I remember us getting in a room. I always do it with my deacons. I don't involve my staff, but I involve my deacons. And I remember us anointing him with oil and praying for Brother Bryant. And Brother Bryant, I believe God extended his days like he did with Hezekiah, but just for a little while. But God extended his days. Why? Because God answered prayer. I remember, of course, just recently, Mrs. Williams coming in and having vision problems and just wanting God to do something, and had a sweet note from her just the other day via text, and saying that God has helped her and has cleared up the vision. And that's God answering prayer. Jeremiah coming to be anointed with oil just not too long ago, and is facing a very, very challenging time in his life, whereas if this medicine does not take place, he'd have to have a complete colonoscopy done on him. And boy, we anointed and prayed, and it looks like the medicine so far is doing the job. And so thank God for that. And did you know God is the one that does answer prayer? And so here this lady is coming, and this lady is saying, "I've got a girl, she is my daughter, and my daughter is vexed. She is vexed with a demon. She has got a demon, and I am coming and I'm asking, would you please relieve her of that devil? Would you do that?" And of course, the disciples, being who they were, said, "No, you're just bothering the Lord. Get away from him. You're bothering him. Stop bothering him. And you're walking around, you're crying, you're making a mess of the place, and you're annoying us, and you just keep, we don't want anything to do with you." But she just kept going and just kept going, and God did answer the prayer. Now, sometimes you have to decide that you're going to be that one that just approaches the throne of God, and you just keep keep praying and just keep praying and just keep praying until God comes through for you. Somebody said that a mom today lives under extreme pressure. She has perhaps a successful career in being someone that is maybe working out of the house, and yet she has also to keep the house spotless and to raise perfect children and to be a great cook and to be a wonderful hostess and an excellent conversationalist. She has a lot of pressure. There was a fellow by the name of Michael Milton. He's an attorney, and he said, I wanted to discover the value of a mother, but I want to do it from the value of what she would be worth in a monetary sense. He said, so I wrote down all of the responsibilities of a mother. First off, she's a chauffeur. She chauffeurs the children here, there, and yonder. So he wrote it down. She's a gardener. She has to go, and if she doesn't grow her own vegetables and doesn't grow her own fruit, she has to know how to buy it. She's a gardener. She's the family counselor. She would sit down long hours and counsel her children. She is a maintenance worker. Husband's away, toilet goes out. Husband's away, sink begins to overflow. Husband's away, and all of a sudden now something needs to be fixed. She is a maintenance worker. She's a cleaning woman. She makes sure that the house stays clean. She's the housekeeper. She makes things in well order. She's the family cook. She's the errand runner. Some of you girls listening to this right now say, I'll never marry. And she's the bookkeeper. She's the interior decorator. She is the caterer. She's the dietitian. She's the secretary. And she is the hostess. So when Michael Minton decided that he was going to put all this in a row and figure it up, he said, according to that which is the impression I'm getting for services rendered in a professional realm, the average woman in America today, just holding those services, should make $985 a week. That is $51,220 a year. Now, please don't do this. Please don't go home and say, all right, I'm married to you. You heard the preacher. Now pay up. Okay? I'm saying this. I'm saying that we sometimes undervalue all the things that a wife does and a mother does. University of Michigan was conducting a nationwide survey several years ago, and they asked thousands of girls between the ages of 11 and 18, if you had a choice to be anything in life, what would you like to be? Surprisingly, 80% of them expressed the desire that they would like to be just like their mothers. Now, may I say, listen to me tonight, mothers are important. This is Mother's Day, and we preached on it this morning. We're going a different area tonight about that which is a nameless mother, if you will, that she got her reward because she was a mother who was asking from God something in prayer. Please don't be impressed by the Hollywood mothers. They're not real. Don't be impressed by those where you say, well, I tell you what, I have to dress perfect, and I have to look perfect, and I have to be perfect. No, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just try to please God perfect? Why don't you let God be the one that will help you? And why don't you be the one that lets God be the one that will help you to be able to rightly guide your home as a mother over the children? Somebody said this in Sunday school. A little boy in Sunday school was making a presentation. And as he's making a presentation, they said that as he's performing and making that presentation, the mother's sitting on the front row, and they said, now go ahead, what is your line? He couldn't remember his line. And his mother was anxious, you know, and they were prompting him, what is your line? And he couldn't remember the line. And so Mama spoke up and said, I am the light of the world. She was trying to help him. I am the light of the world. And so he finally got it. And he said, I got it. He said, Mom is the light of the world. K. Can I tell you, it's important tonight to understand that your children need you. Let me give you, if I may, just a few, just three remarks about the things that she did and what happened. Why is it that God answered her prayer? Let me give it to you real quick. Look at, we're in the same chapter. Look, if you will, in verse 22, Matthew 15, verse 22. The Bible says, and behold, it says, a woman, it says, of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. It says, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now understand this, that she was a woman, she was a Gentile woman, and she was a woman of the Canaanites. And so here she is, she's coming at a time when our Lord Jesus is passing through, he's in a hurry, he's got a purpose, he is heading a direction, and she stops him while he is en route. He has traveled from one side to another side of the coast. He's come from a different city. He is en route. He's traveling along. And as he's traveling along, she took time to be able to go to him and ask. Now, can I tell you, if you think that just because you pray a prayer one time and that's it, and that God is going to come through, can I tell you, you're greatly misunderstanding that which is praying to God. Sometimes you have to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask before God answers a prayer. I prayed for my dear mother to get saved for years, asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. I prayed for Daddy even longer than that, asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And if you're going to rear godly kids in this time and this day, you're going to have to take time to be able to go to God and pray and ask God over and over. Don't just pray for your kids one time and say, God, help me to raise godly kids. It's going to take more than that. You're going to have to go to the throne of God and say, God, please save them at an early age. God, please help them to have a desire to step out in your will and to obey your will and to be able to go forward to serve you in your will. And you're going to have to pray for them over and over and over and over again. By the way, she broke culture that day. Now, we're talking about a lady that she crossed some great barriers. She crossed the great barrier of stopping somebody of significant importance, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've heard people say this. They said, well, I don't want to pray to God because God is busy. God is never too busy for you. Well, I don't want to pray to God because, after all, God might not have time to listen to my prayer. That is ridiculous. God does want you to pray, and he does want to listen to your prayers. That's why God has commanded you to pray. Now, wait a minute. And so she crossed over the barrier of time. She crossed over the barrier of culture. Now, can I tell you, we live in a techno type of time, a technology type of time, and you got to be careful that technology does not overtake you. You got to be careful that you keep right with God. You got to be careful to keep your Christianity simple because that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ has laid it out for us. You know, you don't have to text God to get your prayers answered, and you don't have to put it in right words to be able to email it to him and hope it hits heaven's intelligent communicational center. You don't have to do that. What you can do is just, it was people that walked in the field and they prayed, and some laid prostrate and they prayed, and some knelt when they prayed, and some sat when they prayed, and some walked and ran. And can I tell you, you can pray to God at any given time, and you can also cross any type of culture, if you will, to be able to understand that God will listen to you no matter where you're from, no matter what your heritage is, no matter what type of society you live in, Western Hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, or the Eastern Hemisphere. Doesn't matter where you live. He's the same God that is rich unto all that call upon him. I'm saying tonight that we understand this. She crossed some barriers. She crossed the barrier of time, the barrier of culture. She crossed the barrier of pride. She didn't say to me, introduce myself. It didn't matter to her if he never knew her name. That wasn't the important thing. The important thing was she had a precious daughter that was hurting. Had a precious daughter that was vexed with a demon, vexed with the devil.
had a precious daughter that she wanted that daughter to be able to have a good life and be able to walk and be able to talk and be able to be free from this vexation. She wanted that daughter to be able to understand what it was like to be able to serve a living God, and needed a true miracle in her life. And so what happened was she dropped all of her pride. Didn't matter. This is a woman tonight that had no name. But yet, she was somebody who got a prayer answered. Can I tell you, one of the greatest things that you'll ever do in your life is to find out that you're not the important one, but God working in your life and God working in your children's life is important. Cross the barrier of pride. Cross the barrier of science. Prove it. There was doubting Thomas that always doubted. Saw miracle after miracle, by the way, but he always doubted. Well, let me touch you and see. Let me feel you and see. What about using your faith? What about stepping out and letting God bless? Cross the barrier of desperation. She was desperate, you know, but she crossed it. She wasn't in a panic in that she was running everywhere. She was centrally located as to where she would run. And she ran over, stand if you will. She ran over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these guys, these were disciples, help me, these disciples were trying to prevent her. And they're trying to send her away. And so she is trying to get close to the Lord, and these disciples are coming towards her, coming towards her. These disciples are coming towards her, coming towards her. And that's him. And trying to prevent her. But, you know, what she was doing, and she's crying and she's boo-hooing and saying, I've got to get to him. And they didn't. Now, by the way, she was a kind woman. She didn't see that she knocked him out and out and went this way. You didn't see that at all. But she did make headway. She did decide that she was going to get to the Lord and the Master was. And can I tell you, that's important. It doesn't matter who stands in your way. I don't care if they pretend to be godly or not. You get to the Lord. Only God can answer your prayer. Only God can come through. You decide that it doesn't matter if it's a good person, has good intentions, and they're trying to stop you from obeying God. You just decide that God's more important. You just decide you can get through. You just decide, let God be true and every man a liar, and you step out and you do what God wants you to do, and God can answer your prayer. I'm saying tonight, thank you, be seated. Statement number one, she crossed great barriers. Statement number two, she was persistent. She was persistent. You think about this lady, and she did not quit. She was persistent. Boy, we got a bunch of sissy britches type of boys today. You know, well, I can't come to church because I've got a cold. But you go to church, or you go to work on Monday. I don't understand it. Well, we all got to stay home because the baby has a fever. So we all got to stay home. But you love your work more than you love God. I don't get it. The God that saved you, the God that is taking you to heaven, and you're not going to burn in hell. I don't get it. Why is it that in our society we decide that we're going to do what we want to do? Why don't we get some men back in the churches that say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. This lady was persistent. One day there was a young man that was in the room, and the dad was asking him and trying to convince him, asking him some questions and trying to convince him to stay on track and just not to quit. He was getting ready to quit on God, and so daddy was trying to talk some sense into him and started using some logical sense. The boy understood history a little bit. He said, now son, he said, Abraham Lincoln didn't quit. And the boy said, well, that's true. He said, Thomas Edison didn't quit. And the boy said, well, that's true. He said, Douglas MacArthur didn't quit. And the boy said, that's true. And he said, Elmo Kringle didn't quit. And the boy said, who is that? And the daddy said, that's right, you don't know him. You know why? He quit. Look, can I tell you that if you just decide to persevere, You just decide to keep going. Now, wait a minute. Here, there's the silence of Jesus. Now, understand the pictures. Understand the pictures that's being presented here. Several pictures, but understand, if you will. And so here's this dear lady. She's got a daughter. She loves her daughter. And nobody can love a daughter like a mother. Loves her daughter. And so here the daughter is, and she's vexed with the demon. And so she knows the only one that can give deliverance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the only one that can give you deliverance from your problem right now is Jesus Christ. She knew that. And so she goes running to the Lord, and she's crying, and she's an emotional mess, and she is just beyond herself. And you ever seen somebody that just is, I mean, they're giving it their all, and nothing is going right, and they get emotionally distraught, and they're just giving it all, and boy, they're just all messed up. And boy, she's got this one thing in her head, I've got to get to the Lord, I've got to get to the Lord. And the disciples interfere. They were traveling along, and no doubt, many people tried to get to the Lord. Many people try to interfere, and they did not know if somebody's going to try and take his life. They didn't know what was taking place here, and so these guys were trying to guard the Lord, and so here she comes running through, and they see that she's an emotional mess, and she is distraught, and they say, oh look, you just go away, and they try to send her away, and then even the Lord said, I'm coming here for a different purpose, and yet he was very silent when she tried to get him to answer prayer, as the Bible says in verse 23, and he answered her not a word. The Bible says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's not able to get to you, and she's just following us around, and she's just bawling her eyes out, and just send her away. She's just an emotional mess. And here you see the disciples rebuke. They want to rebuke. They say, send her away, send her away. They want to rebuke her. Verse 24, the Bible says, and he answered, and I said, and answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came with a different purpose. But she kept beseeching him. And isn't that the way the Lord is? If we'll just come, please understand this tonight. If you'll just come to him with your greatest need and just keep praying and just keep praying and just keep praying. Hey, listen, God can answer prayer, but stop being this type of casual Christian where you serve God where you want to and when you want to and just decide to put God first. Get all in. Boy, years ago, you'd see people come to church, they were all in. They weren't half in and half out. Now, I'm not saying we waste time, but we spend an awful long time trying to chase people that say they're saved, trying to convince them to get in church. Nobody ought to have to convince you to get in church. You ought to be in church every time the doors are open. Why? Because he's your Savior. Why? Because he's your God. Why? Because that's your Bible. Why does somebody have to chase you down? Why is that? Now, listen to me. I'm saying this tonight, that here is this dear lady, and she went past the silence of Christ. She went past the rebuke of the disciples. She went past, if you would please, even Christ saying, well, I came here with a different purpose. But understand, she said, I've got to get to you. I've got to get to you. I've got to get to you. I've got to help you to see. You got to answer my prayer. Why? Because she had such a burden for her little girl. It was years ago that Washington Irving said this, the love of a mother is never exhausted, never changes, never tires, never endures through that which is a short period, but always endures forever. It is never that of ill repute. It is that which the world condemns, but still lives on. I believe it's what she had. I believe she had a love. Oh, come on. You do your best. You try and rear your kids, and your kids thumb their nose up at you. They say, I want to live the way I want to live. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. Wait a minute. But your training is not in vain. The Bible does say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So many different ones have heard me say that over the years. They say, I have a different definition of that. Whether a different definition is true or not, I'll tell you what it does talk about. Talking about state of maturity. When they become old enough to understand things, here's what happens. They will have a recollection of what you did teach. They'll remember. Boy, I remember sitting at some of the big conferences over the years, and the man of God would get up and preach, and it changed my life forever. Just one message. Now, can I tell you that the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we get into our Bible, the more that God builds our faith. Come on. Come on. You start coming to this church long enough, you'll start liking it. Ashley, do we come to McAllister's often? We do, don't we? You get to see us almost every week, don't you? Yeah. We didn't come today. Did you notice that? You were off today. God bless you. She took off because she knew we weren't coming. But we go in, and she's become a friend, and we appreciate her. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, though. Listen to me. I'm saying that you become somebody, after a while, that's routine. Routine. I have several places I like to eat. Now, Mrs. Wells, she likes, I'll be honest with you, boy, she likes McAllister's. She does like McAllister's. She likes it. I'll eat anywhere, almost. I eat at McDonald's. My children can't stand McDonald's. My wife can't stand McDonald's. But I'll eat at McDonald's. They know me down at McDonald's. I was going through the drive-thru the other day, and I said, hey, I want to give you this. And I handed it to Lee, and she said, this is number 21. Number 21. I said, well, that's good, but this one's the most important one. I said, see that guy down there? She said, yes. I said, that's me. She said, you've changed. Now, she said this. She said, you have gained a little weight. I said, give me back that. No, I did not. I said, really? She did. She said that. Can you imagine that? And she said, you have gained a little weight. I said, really? I said, well, eating here is not helping me. And she changed her tune. And she said, oh, we like you coming by. Thank you. She crossed great barriers. Statement number two, she was persistent. Last statement, I'm done. Here it is. She made no claim for herself. She made no claim. Some of the greatest mothers I've ever seen are very quiet, very much to themselves. They don't walk around up and down the hallway saying, I am the mother. They can't say what Eve said, I am the mother of all living. They can't take that title. But you be careful now. See, she made no claims. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, then it says, came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26, the Bible says, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take, it says, the children's bread. Remember, he was sent to the children of Israel, so he said just a moment ago, and cast it to dogs. The Gentiles many times were referred to as dogs. The Bible says here, and she said, truth, Lord, she said, yet dogs eat crumbs, it says, which fall from the master's table. She said, even you could help me. Even you could help me. Now, by the way, you listen to me. Did you know that God wants to help? And you think about the disciples. I'll give it to you quick. The disciples went through a time, I told on Wednesday night Bible study years ago. The disciples went through a time, they had no faith. Disciples saw miracle after miracle. Saw God do wonderful things. And they went through a time of having no faith. Disciples. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 40, the Bible says, and he said unto them, the Bible says, why? It says, are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So the disciples, there was a time in their life, preachers, men of God, had no faith. Now, there may be a time when you have no faith. Have you been there? Wait a minute, the disciples, listen to it. Book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, the Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" All right, so the disciples were men that had no faith. Then it went from no faith to having a little faith. That's the disciples. And you think if anybody in the world ought to have great faith, it ought to be these guys right here. It ought to be these guys right here, the guys you look up to. The college administrator ought to have a greater faith than anybody else in the college. The school principal ought to have a greater faith than anybody else that's associated with the Christian Academy. The music director, and by the way, governs our finances for us. If anybody needs faith, it's a guy that governs the finances for us. But ought to have a great faith. Here we go. Youth director, and by the way, over the media department, and should have a great amount of faith. Here we go. Teaches in the academy. Activities director, also senior saint director, ought to have a great amount of faith. Great amount of faith. But God said the disciples one day had no faith. Now, by the way, don't be too quick to judge. Have you been there? Has there been a great time in your life when you said, "Hey, God, I believe you. Wow, this is going to be great. God's going to bless. Yes." And then there's been times in your life said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" All right, wait a minute. And so they had no faith. They had little faith. Now, wait a minute. The Bible talks about here the disciples are too. They were having trouble with forgiveness. They were having trouble with forgiving people. And the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 17, and verse 5, he says in the apostles, of course, there's no office of the apostles today. That's gone. And that was with the first century Christians there. But it says now the apostles, that's the one that witnessed the resurrection. And the Bible says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, he says, increase our faith. And so here was people that were saying, increase their faith. Now, why? Because at that time, they had a hard time forgiving people. So, Lord, how often should we forgive that person? Seven times? And he said, no, seven times 70. Is that 490? So what that is? Thank you there, Dr. Kramer. And so 790 times. By the way, if you forgive somebody 790 times, can I tell you, you'll probably get used to doing it so much you'll forget to count. Bible says they came to ask more faith. Let me give you two more. And there was great faith. This was a centurion. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says, and Jesus heard it and marveled and said to them that followed him, that's the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. There's a centurion. Never saw a miracle, never walked beside him, never slept beside him beside the fire, never heard the word of God, and yet he had that which the Bible says was a great faith. Does that mean that there could come a day when you have a greater faith than a Kevin Craig? Now, does that mean that we should fire him and hire you? No, you're only 6 years old. We're not going to do that. But can I tell you, listen to me, there will be times when you will go from one level to another level rather quickly. Come on. There will be times when something would trip you up. There'll be times when something will come before you. There'll be times, hey, don't make a decision when your faith is here. Make a decision when your faith is here. You decide, you walk with God, you get God's power on your life, you know that you're walking with God, you know that there's no sin in your life, you know that your relationship with God is at a dynamic, a supreme level, then you make a decision. But until then, don't go to somebody and say, this is the will of God. You just decide you will walk with God. Here's what it says, book of Acts. I'm done, last verse. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, and Stephen, the Bible says, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And here's Stephen. Now, can I tell you, listen, God, as deacon, by the way, and so God could take and give you a great faith. But you're going to go through times. I'm done. Here it is. You're going to go through times in your life. Come on. And really, it depends on how big your need is. The bigger the need, it seems like the bigger the need, more earnest we are to get a hold of God. Oh, come on. You come down with cancer tomorrow. Let's see how fast you get close to God. You come down with a dysfunctional heart tomorrow. Let's see how fast you get close to God. But why wait? Why wait until your daughter's afflicted? Why wait until there is such an urgency that you've got to break all the barriers and you've got to rush into the presence of God? Why wait? Why don't we decide that, hey, pray for your child before your child gets backslidden, and be faithful to church before things go wrong, and you get close to God, and before your marriage starts to get indistraught and it's complicated and you got to feel your way through and you can't see your way out. Hey, don't wait until it's a time of an emergency. You get with God and you let God begin to work in your life before you get there. The average college kid that's at our college will not start to walk with God, pray earnestly until they're in financial withdrawal. Now that's a shame. The average church member, come on. And by the way, we have a good church. I wouldn't want to trade it for any church in the world. We have a good church. We got good people. You're good people. I thank God for you. But now wait a minute, watch this wheel. We have such a good, wholesome environment that when people come here, they like it. Our church is just going to grow just by the naturalness, I believe, of your kindness and your smile and your genuine, not fake, but genuine friendship. Oh, I think the sky's the limit. But now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Your kindness, your gentleness, doesn't mean that you're right with the Lord. You can put on a smile anytime. Sing the songs of Zion anytime. Oh, come on. I've sat beside preachers in big meetings across this country. And 1 minute they're telling a dirty joke. The next minute they're shouting amen. Preacher, what is that? Hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. Come on. I've seen preachers. 1 minute. They're nice and they're kind and giving and the next minute they're trying to steal another brother's church members. But what is that? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. I've seen good people in this church. Love God, but when they get out, they say things they should not say. All I'm saying is this. I'm saying if we ourselves, instead of waiting until the urgent hour, take everything and just be walking with God, walking with God, walking with God, walking with God, walking with God. And come to the altar and say, God, like David did, God, thoroughly search me. God, show me. Is there anything at all that I need to work on? Thoroughly right with God. And can I tell you, when a person gets thoroughly right with God, you will not have to live. And by the way, there will come emergencies. Don't get me wrong, there will come. Shannon is doing well, and I appreciate you praying for our sister-in-law. That's Mike, my brother-in-law, which is Mrs. Wells' brother, and Mom's son. And Shannon's doing well. Got out of the hospital, heading home. And thank you so much for praying. We told you about the stroke that she had. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But I remember I was talking to Mike on the phone, and I called Mike up, and I said, Mike, how you doing? And he started crying. It was emergency zone time. And he started crying. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He said, my wife, oh, he said, I never thought this would happen. Oh, he started crying and crying and crying. I thought he was going to lose his precious wife. Now, can I tell you, and we were able to have prayer together, and we prayed for Shannon, and boy, God's answered prayer. She's going home. She's going home. Now, that's an answer to prayer. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, though. Watch this. There will be times when there's the emergency. There will be times when there is the emergency. But I'm saying, don't wait to the emergency to have a good talk with your father. Don't do that. Man, go home and hold your wife by her hand and pray. Kids, don't ever get away from being close to your parents. Allow them to be what they ought to be. Allow that closeness. And moms, don't ever forget that you need to pray for those little ones. Don't ever forget you need to pray for that husband. Don't ever forget God can change things in your world.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.